presents the Pick Six Podcast, featuring CBS NFL writers Pete Prisco and Will Brinson, NFL insider Jason LaCanfora, and host Nick Costos. You want NFL talk? We've got NFL talk. From training camp to the Super Bowl and through the NFL draft, our fearsome foursome has you covered. This is the Pick Six Podcast.
Pick Six Podcast, Week 10 NFL Sunday. Nick Costos and Pete Prisco here at Fort Lauderdale. We'll be joined by Billy Brinson in just a little bit here. Pete, Bill is putting his kid to sleep and therefore is not able to join us on time.
Apparently, that's a concept foreign to me and you, right?
The concept being that we are always on time to what we're supposed to do.
Well, we're always on time to what we're doing, but we also don't have kids to go put down and read lullabies to or whatever.
Correct, yes. Will is currently reading his son a lullaby, and then will be joining us for this podcast.
If I did have a son, I'd be reading to him. I'd say, okay, here's the playbook. You're going to get to know this, and you're going to understand football.
Here's the playbook. You go to bed right now because daddy has to go and do the podcast.
He actually has to do work, so you have this bed to sleep in.
All right, so while we wait for Will, and we'll see if we get JLC on also. JLC, of course, finishing up with the NFL today. Let's start with my New York football Giants. And, you know, you thought 51-17 was bad last week. But you know what the Giants said today, Pete? Hold my beer. Wait till you see what we do in San Francisco. This was as embarrassing and pathetic a performance. And I've been watching the Giants for 30 years. One of the worst performances that I've ever seen. It might even be the worst because of the way the team quit. Janoris Jenkins was flat out disgraceful today in refusing to make some tackles in this spot. They've quit on Ben McAdoo. McAdoo wasn't doing great to begin with here. They got a clean house, and I think this is the worst team in the league. I think I would take the Browns to beat the Giants, Pete.
I don't know if I would go that far, but they're pretty darn bad.
The Browns at least play with a modicum of pride. They're not very good, and Hugh Jackson doesn't know what he's doing.
This team quit today. There's no doubt. When you see guys passing on tackles, Janoris Jenkins passed on a tackle, other guys blew assignments, they're just not a very good team right now. And Ben McAdoo stands over there and acts like he has no idea how to change it. He doesn't know what to do. And so I think you should make a change. I think if it was me, if I was John Mara and we saw him in the box, he saw a lot of them on TV, if it was me, I would make the change tomorrow. I'd get him out of there.
They're playing the Chiefs at home next week. Andy Reid off the bye. Andy Reid off the bye. The opening line is Chiefs minus 13.5 on the road, and you'd be crazy to take the points with the Giants. You can't have McAdoo go coach this game against the Chiefs. They're going to lose by 60.
But here's what I don't think happens. If you make the change, you're not making the change and automatically winning football games. You're making the change and your culture changes. You get guys that are quitting, get them, sit them down.
They should sit Janoris Jenkins down for
yes,
a game.
They
he should not play next week, because no. That was awful what we saw today.
It was
awful.
Terrible. It was terrible. Hey, look, Jerry Reese has to go too. Let's be real.
I think Jerry Reese should have been gone before this.
They should have got rid of Jerry Reese and kept Tom Coughlin.
Or get rid of both of them.
Well, they should have kept Tom Coughlin.
But you know what? I have to be consistent because I said at the time that I thought it was time for Tom to go, but both of them had to go. It was asinine to keep and let Jerry Reese hire the next coach after he screwed up the roster. And I've been saying it. I said it all offseason. Last year's 11-5 team was the worst 11-5 team in the history of the NFL. Odell Beckham was the glue holding this team together. Without him, they've completely unraveled. And I just don't know
and
if you've seen anything worse than this.
They had a good defense last year. Now they don't have a good defense.
They made C.J. Beathard look like Joe frickin' Montana today,
they,
Pete.
They got to go. They got to clean the house. And didn't you get the impression looking at Mara, who's not, by the way, one of those guys that makes knee-jerk reactionary moves?
This ain't a knee-jerk reaction.
No, I think – but you know what? On the surface, though, you look at it and you go, he went 11-5 and went to the postseason last year. You're going to be blowing out a coach after a year after going to the playoffs. That's kind of knee-jerk reactionary.
It's not, because this is – it's done at this point. You would agree,
yeah,
right?
I would agree.
I don't even think it's up for debate. That's how bad I think it is.
No, I do too.
And it was
really – but kudos to the 49ers for winning the game.
Yeah, they beat the Giants. Congratulations.
Well, they still won a game. They thought, you know, they were on the path to going over, right? I mean,
yeah, I think they would have won at some point. We'll see Garoppolo at some point, I think, this year. But, I mean, to me, this was – and I'm not trying. You're a 49ers fan. I'm not trying to take anything away from your team. Good for you on the win. I think you got good leadership with Lynch and Shanahan. You're building towards something in the future. But this was more about the Giants laying down than it was about the Niners
Absolutely.
Earning a win.
Absolutely.
Again, not taking anything away from San Francisco. It's just stating the fact of the matter.
Well, now the next question is, okay, if you don't blow out the coach, when do they sit the quarterback?
Well, I don't know if you sit Eli because I think you keep the streak going, but Davis Webb should be playing in these games because you got to see
at
what you
end,
have in him.
At the end, particularly. He's got to play.
Like, why was Eli Manning in the garbage time
right.
drive down 31-13
I don't get it.
In the fourth quarter?
That makes no sense.
Put Davis Webb in and see what you've got. I mean, I know the
but
offensive
really
line's bad.
You can't really can't evaluate Davis Webb coming in garbage time.
But at least give him some reps.
I would
see what he does
reps.
With live
but,
bullets
but
here.
But you can't
Pete.
Evaluate him on that.
They're going to have a top five pick. Do you take a quarterback or not? Like you got, they spent the third round pick on this guy, Davis Webb. Can you see what you've got in him?
But you can't really see what you have in him by putting him in garbage time. You got to see what you have in him by starting him.
Yeah, so...
Would you start him at some point this season?
Let's see what happens. I think if he keeps going like this...
Right.
I don't. It's almost like as a Giants fan, and Eli's my favorite athlete of all time, I don't even want to see Eli on the field with
right.
this team.
Because
it's insulting.
Him. Right, you pity him.
Like Eli's... And look, Eli is past his prime. He's long in the tooth. But he's better than this. And he's not the reason why they're losing.
No, he's better than this.
He's better, and he's never quit.
No,
and he never would.
Bad.
And he's won this franchise 2 Super Bowls. So,
I agree.
Just a complete and total disgrace. So a horrendous day for the New York Football Giants. A bad day for the Buffalo Bills as one. Obviously not as bad as the Giants.
You are what you are.
But Pete, you were saying it. So Saints, my Saints, winners now of 7 in a row, and for the second consecutive week, the Bills blown out at home.
Well, and again, we have a tendency in this league, we rush to judgment on teams. They get a little schedule favorable in certain situations. They win those games. And then all of a sudden, oh, the Buffalo Bills are a contender and not the team we thought they'd be, which was a tanking team. Then they go to New York and get just destroyed by the Jets. And then they come home and they're at home. You got 10 days off to regroup against the Saints team that traditionally doesn't play that well outside. And you were destroyed. Their offense was just dominated by the Saints' defense. They had nothing on the other side of the ball. They're not a good football team right now. I said last week on this podcast, this very podcast, I said they would be defined by what happens in the next four games. You looked at their schedule, and you guys laughed at me. He said the Jets, and then he said the Saints. Then they got the Chargers on the road, I think, coming up. They got a brutal stretch here. They are who we thought they were. The team that might lean more toward tanking than a playoff team. They're not a good football team.
But we give them credit for getting to this point. Getting
correct.
To 5-4.
Sean McDermott's done a hell of a job with this team.
Yeah, and they're building for something good here with all the picks they've got coming up in next year's draft. And on the flip side, the Saints. Wow. What a performance. To put almost 50 points on the board despite less than 200 yards passing from Drew Brees. Look, I said at the beginning of the year, I didn't think it would come. I'll give myself a little credit, but I didn't think it would be this. They are getting it done with a running game and defense. It's pretty wild to watch. And they have a Hall of Fame quarterback that they can go to if they need him.
And they haven't needed to go to him. You know they can, but they haven't had to. That's the good thing about the Saints. Look, Saints defense, right now Dennis Allen might be the assistant coach of the year in the National Football League. He's taken a unit that was awful, and he's molded it into being, in the last 7 weeks, I think they're giving up like 13 points a game or less than that now even. That tells me that A, there's more talent there, and there is. I mean, young guys like Rankins, who had a sack, Sheldon Rankins, defensive tackle, had a sack today.
Former first rounder.
Lattimore, the corner, first rounder. You know, Vaccaro, first rounder.
Yep.
I mean, these guys are all starting to play to their expectations. And Cam Jordan, like I say every week, is a defensive player of the year candidate. So you add it all up. Dennis Allen's done a great job. Look, Sean Payton's in the conversation for coach of the year. And
they were 0-2, Pete. We kind of left them for dead after 0-2 after
went,
the loss to the Patriots.
And then they went to Carolina and won that game.
And thumped the Panthers.
Yeah. And look, he's the best play caller in the NFL, in my mind. And he's got the like I always say, the best mind in the NFL playing quarterback for him. And he hasn't had to rely on any of that. When they have to, they will be able to. This is a dangerous team. Again, I'm going to give you credit for it. I was there this summer. I watched that team up and down, studied them, and was there on practice field for 3 days. I didn't see this happening because I didn't think the defense would be that good.
48 carries today in Buffalo, 298 yards, 6.2 yards per attempt, 6 rushing touchdowns, 3 for Ingram, 1 for Kamara, 1 for Trey Edmonds, and 1 for Drew Brees. So the Saints have now won 7 consecutive games. Where do you rank New Orleans among the best teams in the NFL?
In the conversation in the NFC, I still think we have to be determined on who the best team is. I think you got to, November, end of November, early December is when your best teams emerge. I think you'll see that now. We'll get a real clear picture on who they are. But they're in the conversation. Now, they have 2 games against the Falcons still, which is always a rivalry, and that could go a long way to decide the division. They still got it. Carolina still has to come to town, I think, too, for a game.
They've only played once.
Right. So they got 3. Those are 3 tough games, and they're going to be in the mix. Look, they're good on defense. They can run the ball, and they have Drew Brees, and they have Sean Payton, who's the best play caller in the league.
All right, let's move now to Atlanta since you brought them up. Your Falcons, Pete, improving to 5-4 by beating the Cowboys. Dallas goes up 7-0 in this game, and I look at you in the green room here, and I go, you're going to have to pull a mea culpa, Pete, for all the Falcons love, and then Atlanta just bludgeons Dallas from that point forward. 27 consecutive points. Poor Dak Prescott had absolutely no chance in this game. Chaz Green, the human turnstile in relief of Tyron Smith, and 6 sacks for Adrian Claiborne. They made Adrian Claiborne look like Derek frickin' Thomas today, Pete.
Well, Chaz Green was a spinning top. I mean, he call him a turnstile. That's what he is.
I just called him the human turnstile.
Yeah, he's a turnstile.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm
happy you were listening. That's good.
I didn't hear you say that. I wasn't paying attention because he was writing something down on the paper.
Yes, the conductor, Eric.
The conductor. The conductor. But look, this was a big game for the Falcons. And the reason it was a big game for the Falcons, they were on the road for 3 games, hadn't played very well. People were killing them, had to come home, had to get this game. They go to Seattle next week. Then they got 3 more, I think, in a row at home. So they're sitting in a favorable schedule situation. They had to find a way to win this game. If they didn't, they were done. And when you looked at me, I said, they don't win this game, they're done. They're toast. Well, they found a way to win the game. They got the running game going a little bit. Coleman ran well. That took the pressure off Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan made some plays in the second half. And, oh, by the way, like you said, that defensive line got after the quarterback. This is going to put a lot of pressure on Dak Prescott. You know, we've all praised him. And I'm right there with you. I think the kid loves the game. I think he works at it. I think he studies tape as well as anybody. He lives the game. But it's a different animal when you don't have Zeke running the ball the way he runs it, and that offensive line would open up gaping holes there. Then it becomes on you. And is he capable of playing above the scheme and above when things aren't going right? The great ones do. Rodgers does it all the time. Brady does it. You know, they hit the backs out of the backfield. They do things to compensate. The great ones do.
He's so young in his career.
I know. But now, you got to get it past that.
But he had no chance today.
True, but he's still, Nick, they scored 7 points.
But he was sacked 8 times. I mean, he's under duress the entire game, and it's not like the Falcons are, you know, the 86 Giants here. I mean, come on.
I agree, but he wasn't great either before the sacks. I mean, before the sacks started coming in bunches when they fell behind. But look, I think he's a really damn good quarterback. But when you don't have Elliott, and the offensive line isn't opening holes for the run game like they've been. And I thought that, by the way, I'm going to criticize the Cowboys a little bit here. They got away from the run. Morris went run,
pretty good,
and then
yeah.
They dropped back a pass, and he got sacked, and it put him in a bad situation on one drive. So, yeah, they got to be true to who they are. They got to run the ball, and they got to allow the kid to throw the ball off the play action.
All right, so I'm going to give you the Cowboys' next 3 games. Zeke has his hearing on December 1st, so let's have the line be there. Next Sunday night, the Cowboys host the Philadelphia Eagles.
I mean, that's a war.
Who do you like?
I like the Eagles.
Okay, then they host Phillip Rivers and the Chargers on Thanksgiving. That's not going to be a gimme game.
No, it's not going to be a gimme. Not with the way those – if their line isn't –
with Bosa and Ingram. Adrian Claiborne did Bosa and Ingram. Yeah. Are going to eat Dak Prescott for lunch. And then the Washington Redskins at home the following. That's the most winnable of the 3 games right here. But the Cowboys are 5-4. They could be 6-6 after the stretch here when they get Zeke back. And the division's in the rearview mirror at that point. They ain't catching Philly.
No. And they play – next week, if the Eagles beat them, they're not catching them, period, even if when Elliott does come back. Figure it out. If the Eagles beat them next week, they'll be what, 7? That's 6. What would their record be then? If the Eagles beat them next week,
they would be 5-5.
And the Eagles would be
9-1.
And so technically 5 games ahead of them.
5 games ahead. Well, they play again at the end of
right,
the season,
but still,
so not confirmed for
no.
that for that extra.
But
game.
At the moment, 5 games ahead of them.
Before we bring in our friend Jason Lockhand for, I want to tell you about our friends at Blue Apron. Now, last month, Blue Apron celebrated their 5th anniversary by bringing back their top 20 recipes from throughout the past 5 years, as picked by you, the Blue Apron community. You can try Blue Apron's all-time customer favorites by going to blueapron.com/pick6. That's blueapron.com/pick6. And I got to tell you, my sister doesn't stop raving about Blue Apron. She's not a very good cook. She's okay. My sister Katie, I love you. She listens to the podcast, so I don't want to crush her too much, but she has become a much better cook because of Blue Apron. Her and my brother-in-law, Matt, they get Blue Apron sent to their house. They prepare the meals. They're absolutely delicious. My sister loves salmon. She says it's absolutely incredible. Blue Apron is the what you want to be getting. If you want to cook, you want it to be easy. You want a lot of the work to be done for you, and you want it to be delicious. There's only one direction to go to, and it's Blue Apron. You can check out this week's menu and get $30 off your free meal with free shipping. All you've got to do is go to blueapron.com/picksix. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. blueapron.com/picksix. Blue Apron, it's the better way to cook. And with that, we welcome in CBS Sports NFL Insider, our good buddy, Jason LaCanfora, JLC, on the train. What's up, brother?
Stopped at Metro Park, man. Your guy's favorite stop.
There it is.
Working our way to Baltimore.
Nice.
There you go.
I'm going with red wine tonight, Pete, in case you were wondering. I think it'll go better with the risotto.
You're going back with the risotto again, huh?
Yeah, it was a noodle. Like I told you, same picks as last week. Noodle bowl, shrimp. Caesar salad, which I had yesterday on the way up.
Anything sounds good. I'm starving. Yeah, so this is a true story, Jason. So we ordered Mexican food today, and it was not good. And Pete took one bite and then threw it all away. So Pete has actually not eaten all day. So we can.
You nibbled on yours. You didn't eat much of yours.
Well, I had a couple cookies for sustenance. So we'll hopefully get out of here quickly so we can get something to eat. So let's go with the Steelers and the Colts, guys. So this almost turned into the classic Mike Tomlin Steelers on the road game here, Jason.
Yeah.
But Pittsburgh does pull out the win. Boswell kicks a field goal as time expires. Pittsburgh wins 20-17.
Yeah, look, I mean, they survive. That's all you can really expect, right? I mean, you'd love to have style points. You'd love to win sexy. But they didn't lose. And the other teams in their division are combined 7-20. So, you know, Pittsburgh is going to cruise to the division title. They hang in there with New England. And those teams meet in week 15. I believe that game's on CBS. I hope we've protected that game. And that'll probably decide the AFC.
You know what, though, Jason? I expected coming off the bye that the offense would get back to looking like the offense we expect to see from the Steelers, and we didn't. And, you know, the Colts aren't good on defense, and I expect the Steelers to get cranked up on offense, and it just didn't happen that way.
Ben doesn't look right.
He doesn't. He just doesn't.
No, he looks almost disinterested. I mean, there were shots of him today where he's almost like, if they catch it, great. If they don't,
Jason, on the Vance McDonald touchdown, Vance McDonald's like 6'5". He almost overthrew him. He was wide open in the end zone. Vance had to jump to get it.
Yeah, I will say this. I talked to some people there after the game. They didn't have a great feeling. And I haven't charted this number-wise because I haven't had time to look it up. But they were like, dude, we're never really good coming off a bye. We're usually not sharp offensively coming off a bye. Not that that's an excuse or whatever. But again, I mean, they won the game. They won the game, and they've had their slip-ups already. And if they don't lose to crappy teams, they're going to have a chance to be the one seed.
What do you make of the Jacoby Brissett concussion brouhaha, Jason? Because it looked like he was clearly concussed. He comes back into the game, and then he's put in the Lee's concussion protocol after the game. I would imagine this is not a story that'll go away anytime soon.
No, it'll be investigated, I'm sure, by the NFL and NFLPA. We'll hear from the league about that in all likelihood tomorrow, I'd imagine. They'll confirm that. I mean, when he came sprinting back into the game, I was shocked because he clearly got hit in the back of the head. He needed help getting up. He was somewhat dazed. Tolzien comes in, plays like a play or two, and boom, back comes Brissett. I thought it was going to take more time. I thought it was going to be a more thorough view. The Colts are saying that he started to display concussion, side effects, symptoms after the game. Yeah, probably. I mean, again, I don't have all the information right now. I don't know where this is necessarily going, but I have a hard time thinking that the NFL and the NFLPA are both going to find that every single I was, you know, dotted and every single T was crossed.
All right, so let's move now to a pair of NFC teams, gentlemen, that both won to improve to 7-2 today. And Pete, let's start with the Minnesota Vikings. And it looks like Case Keenum took all this Teddy Bridgewater talk to heart because he came out and threw four touchdown passes. It was a little bit of Case Keenum giveth and Case Keenum taketh away, a couple bad interceptions. But at the end of the day, Minnesota now 7-2 with Case Keenum at the helm.
Yeah, the kid's a gunslinger. I mean, he's going to take his shots. He's going to make some really good throws, and he's going to make some really bad throws. And we saw both of that today. But if you would have told people before the season that in a key game on the road, you know, coming off the bye, that you would have Case Keenum starting a quarterback and you can get four touchdown passes and two interceptions and 388 yards, they would have signed off on it in a minute. The Vikings, if they can continue to get that kind of play from him, they are going to be a factor in the playoffs come playoff time, because I think they're winning the division. I mean, that's almost a certainty now that I think they'll be a factor in the playoffs with that defense. And defense travels. They played today without Everson Griffin. Now, the defense wasn't great today, but they found a way on the road to win a tough game. And the Redskins, to me, Jason, that's a big, big, big disastrous loss for them in terms of how the season will play
coming
out.
Off the Seattle win to lose at home, absolutely.
Yeah, I think the Redskins and the Chargers had the most devastating losses in the league for teams that I thought could still at least stay on the periphery of this thing and maybe even get into the playoffs and do a little bit of damage. Big, big losses. But I want to focus on Case Keenum.
Please.
I mean, he had the back-to-back passes that Swearinger picked off. One was just a lob up for grabs ball he never should have thrown. The other one, Swearinger made a nice play to jump the route. But, dude, before that, before the first interception, he was like 18 of 23 for 300-plus yards, four touchdowns, no picks, and literally
teams.
A perfect quarterback rating. For the year, he's got a rating of 93, 11 touchdowns, 5 picks, completing 65% of his passes, averaging over 7.3 per attempt. Three times this year, he's had a quarterback rating over 110 in an individual game. In a year where quarterbacks are getting hurt or playing like crap, he's been damn good. For $2 million a year from a one-year deal, that's the steal of the century. And I'm telling you, I wrote this. Nobody's talking about it. They need to sign this guy. He has no quarterbacks under contract next year. This is a playoff team, a team that, you know, on any given day can play with anybody in the league. And you got Bradford, who won't be back there, who'll be playing on a prove-it contract somewhere else. You got Bridgewater, who they didn't pick the fifth-year option up on for good reason. And no one knows what he's going to be like when he plays. He's been gone for so long. I would get this guy signed. I would give him Josh McCown money for next year. Hey, $6 million with a chance to earn another two in incentives and playing time. Like, I would want some security going into the offseason. If he leads them into the playoffs and wins a playoff game, it's going to cost them money. I would buy low on this guy right now. You could do worse than him. He's obviously a fit with Pat Shurmur, who is going to get head coaching opportunities. Remember I told you that. He will interview for head coaching jobs. Trust me. He got a raw deal in Cleveland anyway when Haslam came in there and blew him out after a year or two. They're an interesting team to me. They lose Dalvin Cook. Diggs has missed a couple of games this year. And that offense keeps getting it done.
Speaking of offenses getting it done, the L.A. Rams, this is like the greatest show on turf, part two, keeps rolling here. 33-7 over the Houston Texans. Jared Goff, 355 yards through the air to go along with three touchdowns. I mean, Tom Savage is Tom Savage, Pete, but this game was never especially close. The Rams are 7-2.
And you know what? And only getting better, because I think the defense is starting to grasp onto this Wade Phillips scheme, which is tough. It's complicated. It can take some time. They're getting better on that side of the ball. Offensively, they're very good. And I want to give Sean McVay a ton of credit. He's a great play caller. He's a great offensive mind. He threw from backed up in his own end zone, hit a big play, 97 yards to Robert Woods or whatever it was from
close
from
to
Goff.
It.
And to me, that tells you he's not afraid to take his shots. But more than that, let's credit the players. Because this offensive line with Whitworth and Sullivan is 10 times better. They made Sackle
Gurley's better.
Gurley's better. The Woods is better than what they had
Higby's
last year.
Higby's better. Everett's better.
Cup's better. I mean, they're a better team. And it makes calling plays a lot easier when you have the talent. Look, they go to Minnesota next week. They play the Vikings next week.
It's Rams-Vikings next week? That is exciting.
That's going to be an interesting game.
Jason, how do you rank these teams atop the NFC right now? Let's take the Eagles out of it for a second. The Rams, the Vikings, and the Saints are all 7-2.
I don't know. I mean, look, the Saints, the Vikings, the Eagles, and the Rams, nobody thought those would be the four sort of horsemen of the apocalypse going into week 11 in the NFC, but they are. And I don't know that there's a whole lot separating all of them. I think the Eagles have certainly played the best football in totality. But any given Sunday, I don't know what happens with any of those teams. I'm still not giving up on Seattle. The Richard Sherman injury is devastating, but I'm not ready to completely write them off. But, I mean, the Rams, the thing that stuns me about the Rams is they came into this game, and their six wins, their average margin of victory was 20.12 points. And they exceeded it today. I mean, what did they win by, what, 24 today? I mean,
26.
staggering. I mean, think of, this is the Rams we're talking about, who even when they won in recent years, right, it was 9-7 with a late safety or something. Or
13-9.
Tavon Austin returns a punt for a touchdown, and they win 13-12. Like, this is the freaking Rams.
Pete, how do you think they stack up atop the NFC? And like, you, by the way, you are right. Rams and Vikings next Sunday in Minnesota.
Yeah, I'd say one would be the Eagles. Two would be the Rams.
I think I like the Saints.
No, two would be the Saints. Three would be the Rams. And four would be the Vikings right now for me.
Vikings minus 2.5 in that game next week. So it appears as if it were an unneutral field that the boys in the desert would like the Los Angeles Rams a little bit more, which I think is utterly fascinating. So that's going to be a pretty good one next week. How about the AFC South? The two teams that we have determined to be the favorites there, I think clearly at this point with Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson out. Jacksonville and Tennessee both winning close games today, Pete. The Jaguars going into overtime to beat the Chargers thanks to a gift roughing the passer call on Joey Bosa at the end of regulation after a hideous Blake Bortles interception.
Bad Blake Bortles interception. Fumble return for a touchdown that was called back because they said he was touched down. Fumble by the Chargers when they're trying to run out the clock in that situation, which is awful. I mean, it was just the end of that game was crazy. Jacksonville didn't have a deep a snapper on their field goals, so they had to use Tyler Shatley, who was the third snapper on the winning field goal.
How about Rivers? The Rivers interception, and then they let Boue return the ball 55 yards back the other way.
And then there's a taunting penalty on
both taunting penalties.
Well, that was on Ramsey.
Lee and the one on the return.
Yeah, he's got to rein that in a little bit. I think they're out of control, and Marone has to do a better job of reining those guys in. But they're going to be hard out every single week because of that defense. I mean, that defense is special. It's hard to move the football.
Bortles stinks, though.
I also didn't like the call by the Chargers on third down not to allow Phillip Rivers to throw the ball.
You know who else
didn't
like it, by the way?
Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers didn't like it.
What did you think of that? You got a veteran quarterback. You got to let him throw the football there.
What was it, like third and eight? They called a draw there?
Yeah, correct. Third and eight. Yeah. Exactly right.
We called that play when we were sitting there. It's going to be a draw.
That's the death knell for the Chargers, and that's a team that easily could be 6-3 right now. They have more talent there. I'm going to newsflash to Dean Spanos. Spend money and get a real head coach, bro. Like, just get around to doing that eventually. Try it for clicks and giggles and see how it goes, because this team should not be 3-6.
No, they shouldn't be, and I completely agree with that. I think Anthony Lynn
it's got to be a 1-and-done there. I mean, if they finish, whatever, 6-10, like, jump into the deep end of the coaching pool for once and see how it goes. That's a game that they sort of gave away the way the Chargers do. And it's a shame because the kid I never heard of who caught like 7 balls for 100 yards.
Austin
had a hell of a game for them. Got in the end zone a couple times, and then that fumble was just bizarre. A lot of credit for Jacksonville, but I wrote this in my column. I'm with Pete here. You know, Jalen Ramsey plays with an edge, but he plays over the edge too much. And, you know, that Marquise Lee taunting penalty, I wouldn't have put the kid back in the game. Dude, he thought he got a PI flag, and he went into a full histrionics dance.
No, he
like,
thought he got
thrusting
a – he thought he got
TV.
A roughing the call.
No, he thought he got a –
unnecessary roughness,
right,
yeah.
He thought he drew a flag, that's what I'm saying.
Well,
he was going near making a catch.
He did draw a flag.
But he gives it back.
I thought that was pretty disgraceful of the refs to pick that flag up on that.
Getting a flag, dude. Come on.
Yeah, well, that was stupid. Look, Doug Marone has to rein that group in. Think about that in the last couple weeks. You had four.
And then what does Lee do later in the game? He drops that bomb.
Right.
Which would have won the game in regulation. Yeah.
Right.
He drops the freaking ball.
Or in overtime. Yeah.
Right.
Sending those guys out there.
Yeah.
Don't take somebody off special teams and give them a chance.
They'll have D.D.
Westbrook. That will bite them in the ass down the line.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's got to rein them in. Think about it.
Against a good team in the playoffs. That
good team. How about up against the Tennessee Titans when they play?
Well, they had Fournette out last week with his thing. Then you got the thing with Jalen Ramsey. Now you got this stuff going on. He's got a. Coughlin can't be happy head coach.
But so. I mean, they're 6-3. Hard to be that unhappy, right?
Right. No, I mean they could. They're in control of their own division. They got an easy schedule. They play Cleveland next week. You know what game's going to be big for them in a couple weeks? They got Seattle coming to Jacksonville, and I've heard. I don't know if this is true, Jason. You might know this. That game might get flexed to Sunday night, which would be
which game?
Jacksonville and Seattle in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the rest of the schedule. I'm not sure. I didn't hear any scuttlebutt about that. I got to say this, too. Dude, a lot of empty seats in Jacksonville. Come on, man.
That's interesting, given that the team's pretty good.
A lot of empty seats. We had the dirty feed, and they pulled the shots up during commercials where they banned the upper deck. Not good.
But they close off part of that upper deck. You know that, don't you?
I'm talking about the half of the thing that's not. I'm not talking about the canopy, Pete. I'm not counting that as empty seats. I'm talking about the other side of the upper deck.
Yeah, but there's empty seats everywhere. You pick on Jacksonville too much. There's empty. Go put the Steelers. Pan the Steelers stadium sometime after halftime and tell me how many people are in this stadium.
I'm not talking that. I'm talking. Yeah. Like into the game, like first quarter, second quarter. I know before
they had
the game,
60,000 people.
Takes forever to get there.
They had 60,000 people.
Any stadium.
All right.
I'm not talking third quarter. No.
You're moving them. You're
game.
Trying to justify your decision. You're writing the, when they're moving to London.
The London Jaguars. But
not going.
So, but what about?
You know the only team in the NFL that's allowed to sell corporate sponsorships and individual like beer sponsors, this sponsor, that sponsor in the UK.
That would be the Jaguars, I'm guessing, since you're asking the question.
Yeah, only one thing. Sorry.
I mean, listen, it's not outside the realm of possibility, but for the moment, it doesn't really matter. They're trying to win a division, and their main opposition here, Jason, the Titans, who almost yacked this one away to the Cincinnati Bengals, a late touchdown by DeMarco Murray.
I don't buy the Titans at all.
I don't buy either of those teams.
I have not been impressed with them any of those games.
No, I'm not either.
When they play a real team, you're going to see.
Well, they play Pittsburgh Thursday.
Thursday night, Tennessee at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I don't buy them. I really don't. Mariota got the crap knocked out of him today. He got tackled from behind late in that game, and it looked like he may have aggravated the hamstring again. Don't make a play here or there, but they just don't impress me. They've got some individual players who impress me. The safety, the fired kid got his hands on the ball again. But I'm sorry. I just do not think they're a good football team. Maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I don't buy them.
I worry about their defense. I do. They just haven't been good enough.
You want a get-right spot for Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers?
Right,
How about this upcoming Thursday night against Tennessee?
I think he's going to have an opportunity to get right. I just worry about the Titans' defense. I'm with you, Jason. But their schedule's easy, too, the rest of the way, though. I mean, look, it might come down to the week 17 where Jacksonville at Tennessee for deciding that division.
Could that get flexed?
Maybe.
Well,
I don't think Seattle's getting flexed with Jacksonville.
Because that's Baltimore-Pittsburgh, right, on that night?
Yeah.
December 10th. The Week 17 game is always like whatever the win game is. So.
Plus, if you're going to flex anything from that weekend, if it's allowed to be flexed, the Rams and Eagles play on that week.
I love that this is good stuff in the NFL this year. I'm enjoying it. A couple more games for us to hit. I have no interest in talking about the Packers-Bears game, Jason, except to talk about John Fox's ridiculous challenge that resulted in a turnover. When the ball was fumbled out of the Benny Cunningham play, which turned out to be a turnover for the Bears, and you see his face on the sideline as he realized what he's done. And look, you want to credit Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley looked better today, whatever. And the Packers are 5-4, and I guess you can make the argument they could tread water until Aaron Rodgers comes back. I personally don't see it happening. But to me, this felt like it could have been the beginning of the end for John Fox in Chicago. And Jason, I'm curious if you share that assessment or what you think about Fox's future.
I think it's been the beginning of the end. He was hired because they weren't a very good team, and they had a rookie GM. And, I didn't think he was going to last more than 3 years anyway. I mean, he's relying on the people in the box there, I mean, it ultimately falls on him, but from his angle where he's standing, he's relying on the guys in the replay booth and his assistant coaches up there to tell him what the hell's going on and should we risk this or not? Now, I didn't think, obviously he didn't think, worst case he's thinking is the ball spotted on the one or the two and it's not a touchdown. Look, the only reason they're quasi-competitive is because the defense has been way better than anybody expected. Today they gave up, 27 points? They're never going to score 27 points unless the defense scores multiple touchdowns. So, I mean, Green Bay was eventually going to win a game. I don't know. I'm not as sort of irate about this as I guess some other people are. I never thought John Fox would be the coach of the Bears in 2018. So this doesn't necessarily change a lot for me. I don't think the Bears are going to beat too many more teams. Trubisky's still really limited, and the margin of error for the defense is slim. And Mike McCarthy's going to win a few games down the stretch. They're not going to go 0 for the rest of the season, even though Hundley's the quarterback.
Can they tread water, guys, until Rodgers comes back, if Rodgers comes back? Is this a team that can hover around 500 and maybe push for a wild card spot in December?
Well, if they got five sacks today. Nick Perry had three of them. If they can continue to get defensive play like that, then maybe. I don't see it happening.
They're hosting the Ravens next week. That Ravens offense is not great. Then on the road in Pittsburgh, that'll be tough. They host the Buccaneers, then go to Cleveland. There are some winnable games coming up
for the team.
So interesting. Yeah. Interesting for the
Packers. They can win a couple of those games.
Jason, I want to give you the floor here to talk about your guy Hugh Jackson and what the hell happened at the end of the first half. I don't even, how do you explain it? At the 2-yard line with 15 seconds left and no timeouts, a quarterback sneak, doesn't get into the end zone, and they run out of time, don't get a field goal, end up losing by 14 points in Detroit, now 0-9 on the season.
It was a check with me of some sort. The quarterback was able to audible him in and out of some stuff, and that's the play he put him in. Now, this is one I am putting on the head coach entirely. I don't care what the quarterback did. You know how limited the quarterback is. You know the situation there. You get in his ear and you tell him, you know what I mean? Here are your two plays. Pick one of them. You don't, that should never have been, you know, an option. If it's the old Chinese food menu, you know, one from group A, one from, you know, side B. They get a quick.
We're losing him a little bit. But look, the bottom line, it was a disaster. And you put it on the head coach. You can't at all try and blame that on a rookie quarterback. You go to the line of scrimmage. You got, what, 15 seconds. You have no timeouts. You can't run the ball. You have to get them on the perimeter. You have to be able to throw the football. Make the defense make a decision. You get on the perimeter. You make a throw. If it's incomplete, you kick your field goal. You go in at half, feel good about yourself. So what happens? You go in at half, and you feel crappy about yourself. You don't feel good about your team, and they get blown out in the second half. Bottom line is I put that on the head coach.
Sorry, I lost my signal.
No worries, Jason. We're going to come to you to finish up in a second. But first, I got to tell you about our friends at SeatGeek, because you guys know, buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but I got good news for you. A better, simpler way to buy is SeatGeek. It's the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. The mobile experience is seamless. You buy and sell tickets in just two taps. And look, if I'm tapping, I don't want to tap more than two times. So just two taps for SeatGeek. Helps you get the best seats at the best prices. It's fully guaranteed. There's nothing like seeing your favorite team or musician in person. And SeatGeek's going to get you closer to the action for an awesome value. And look, we're down here in South Florida, and there are a lot of people in the office here at CBS who are huge fans, alum of the Miami Hurricane. And they got great tickets to this past Saturday night's game as Miami thrashed Notre Dame with SeatGeek, and they used the app to get it done. They got a number of great tickets to that game. Miami rolls over Notre Dame, and they were really happy with it because SeatGeek made it happen for them in just two taps. Now, here's the thing. You listeners out there who are wondering, should I get on the SeatGeek train? Should I make my life easier? The answer, of course, is yes, and here's more good news for you. You're going to get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the app and enter the promo code PICKSIX today. That's promo code PICKSIX for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, it's going to get you closer to the action and makes things super easy for you buying tickets to see sports and concerts. So let's close the podcast here, guys. I don't know, who can we talk about here at the end here as I circle through this here? Can't wait to go and get something.
Can we talk about
eat.
Bobby Brinson? Why is he not a part of this?
Pete, would you like
he's
to?
He's MIA all the time. He said he had to get his loafers buffed.
No, he had to put his he said he had to put his kid down.
And he said his son was being a pain, so he couldn't. He was not available. He did text about 5 minutes ago, and we were like, we'll finish it off. Don't worry about it, bud.
Dude, he begs off. Like, that's pretty, a little bit telling. A little bit of a tell there, but old Bobby.
Get on him.
He waves the white flag real easy.
Anything else for us to get here? Anyone want to talk about the Lions? Praise Detroit for the win today. Detroit
no.
staying alive in the NFC
no,
playoff
that
picture.
Doesn't deserve conversation, but they are alive.
Buccaneers beating the Jets 15-10.
That's a bad loss for the Jets. I mean, look, I didn't think they were going to be a playoff team, but any shot that they had of being a playoff team evaporated in Tampa today. They're done.
Do you want to know who the real big loser was in that game?
Who's that, buddy?
It was Dirk Cutter. Take a look at the stands there. This is a business.
Oh, yeah.
That,
in trouble.
That was, I've never seen, I mean, maybe I've seen something like that, but it's been a while. It's not just, when it's not just the upper bowl, but it's the second tier of the lower bowl that's literally sections that look uninhabited in the second quarter of a game, midway through the season, that's not good. And trust me, the Glazers are looking around at that as much as they're going to look
you
at that box
John
or
Gruden
remember,
today.
Or remember that Fitzy beat McCown.
You mentioned Gruden today as a possibility in Tampa. What?
I buy it. I buy that one big time.
Yeah?
More than I thought I would have a week ago. Yeah.
So I think let's close, let's close with this here because Jason wasn't on at the start when we crushed the Giants. I said, Jason, with the way that this team played today, they quit on Ben McAdoo. I don't think there's any question about it in San Francisco, and you never want to see a guy lose his job, but I don't know how the Giants can rationalize putting Ben McAdoo on the sideline next Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. Have you heard anything? What's your sense on what the Giants may or may not do?
That's not how they roll generally, that family, but I agree that it could happen, but here's the thing. Here's where they're in a pickle. Who do you reward? The defense has given up 81 points in 8 quarters, right? So
it's not really a reward, though, right?
The loyal soldier.
Yeah.
But the guys who are throwing the McAdoo under the bus, from what I gather, the guys who are giving all the unattributed quotes about we're tanking, it's over, we hate this guy, they're on that side of the ball.
It's got to be Jenkins and Cromartie, right?
So, who, you know, do you give it to Mike Sullivan? Who do you give it to when you're 1-8 and this much of an abject failure? And it's not like you have some up and coming hot stud coach on the staff who you think might get interviewed somewhere else. So that's a problem. And you don't want to reward the players in general, because ultimately it does come down to the players, no matter what they think of McAdoo. This team has no business being that bad.
You guys
spent a ton of money on the defense. So do I think something will happen? Yeah. And then the other thing too is there's blood on Jerry Reese's hand and Mark Ross. And while everything I've heard this week, even prior to this debacle, was that I didn't see a scenario where McAdoo got fired and they did not get fired with him. In other words, I thought everybody's going down with the ship. You know, do you want to give them potential outs as well? I don't know, man. I did not think that they would get worked like that. And really, no one in upper management of that team did either. I mean, this was a game where at least you thought – yeah, they could have found a way to win it. So, you know, clearly something has to change from an optic level, and at some point they're going to have to throw their fan base a bone if they think anybody's going to be sitting there in December in the cold watching this crap. But you tell me, who the hell do you get? Like, you know what I mean? Who do you give it to? I think maybe Mike Sullivan. I don't know. I don't know that you can give it to Spags. And I know he's been a head coach and all that, but, dude, what the hell happened to that defense? You can't blame McAdoo for that.
It looks like they've quit, and I think that's clearly, I think, what's happened to this defense.
Well, good, I'm quitting on this podcast.
I think it was absolutely. So I would say, let's close with this. Jason, what was your satanic best bet of the week? You took the Steelers, right? That was your pick?
No, it was the Patriots.
All right, so that's underway right now. They're up 14-0, so that's looking pretty good. Pete,
no,
your
super... 14, it's 14-3, and the Broncos are going in.
14-3. So, Pete, your picks, Redskins plus one, loser, Falcons winner, Broncos look like they could be a loser, Giants loser, and you've got Miami tomorrow night. I'm 3-2. Bobby Brinson, Skins plus one, loser. Bears minus 5.5, loser. Bills plus three, loser. Chargers, he won, so he's 1-3 with the Panthers tomorrow night. So I guess maybe a better week for us, all things considered, given that some of us won some games. I'm 3-2, so not all look, bad for the guys in the Pick 6 spot.
Don't you love the way that Nick has a good week and he goes through everybody's picks? But
do I not? I kill my picks all the time. I've sucked right. The entire year. I mean, right. That's pretty much how it goes.
Hey, Nick.
Yes.
Does your mailman have my shirt or what?
In the mail.
Liar.
You didn't in the mail.
You're a liar.
Tomorrow morning.
In the hands
tomorrow
of the U.S. Postal Service.
He hasn't mailed it yet.
Do you believe him, Prisco? You're
no,
standing
I don't.
There with
he's
him.
He's
lying.
He's laughing.
I'm smiling.
He's not laughing.
He didn't send it. I will, but, 1,000%.
Dude, that series has been over for like 3 weeks.
You're not wrong. I
you know what, Jay? And you know what, Jason?
Don't
he's
give me
off like
you're
four
busy.
Days a week, too. He can easily go to the post office and mail you a shirt.
So this is what we want you to do. On Twitter, our guy Desjardins, the conductor, has started a Twitter account for this podcast, at PickSixPod. Follow there. Eric tweets all kinds of funny stuff. We ask you to make picks. You can get involved at PickSixPod. And also, leave that 5-star review, because you know that I especially need it for my self-esteem. 5-star review on the Pick6 podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever the hell else you can find podcasts. For Pete Prisco and Jason Luckin, for and the conductor, Eric Desjardins, I am Nick Costos. We will catch you in the middle of the week for Hot Take or Just Right, also known as Clicks and Giggles. And perhaps,
put
even,
my baby down.
Perhaps even Bobby Brinson will join
us. I'm
going
to go put my son. No, I don't have a son.
Prisco, put the burrito down.
See ya.